All right, we're up to pasuk. Pasuk, hey, shichesloi. Shichesloi, this is a very hard, pasuk. Shichesloi, loi banav mumam. Dar ikesh ufisaltol. What does all of this mean? Okay, let me just move the microphone closer so it works. Okay, so what does this mean? Pasuk over here says, shichesloi. Shichais means destruction. Loi means loi. Loi means to him. Who is him in this context? Lamed with a capital Lamed, Hashem. And it's to be read as a question. Shichais loi? Do you think that when you do an Avera, you have any effect on Hashem? Question. And here is an answer. The answer is loi. The answer is no. Bonov mumam, the only one that you're hurting is yourself. Dor ikesh ufisaltol, your generation, that's ikesh ufisaltol. I don't know what those words mean, you have to see the Rashi. It means something like you're crooked and corrupt. That's how it translates in my mind. A generation of people who are crooked and corrupt. And this pasuk, after the way I translate the pasuk, turns out to be one of the most unique psukim in the entire Tanakh. Because 99% of the psukim in Tanakh are not questions. They are statements. They are commands. They're very straightforward. Nothing is straightforward in Tanakh. Everything we have to, you know, to decipher a pasuk, you have to, more often than not, read the words out of order. But after everything is said and done, after you read the words out of order, you don't have a dialogue. You don't have question answers. You have question answers, but not like this. The nature of the question answer in this pasuk is too unique, where it's shichais loy question. So like a you think it's a rhetorical question, but it's not, because there's an answer. If there would be no answer, then you can call it a rhetorical question. If the pasuk would just say shichais loy, period, and then it would say bonov mumam dar ikeshu fesalta, we would be very, very happy. If we were to omit the word loy, the second loy, we would know what it means. It means it's a question. Do you think that you are causing harm to Hashem? Do you think so? As a question, a rhetorical question. And when you ask a rhetorical question, the answer is obvious, of course not. Yet, here in this pasuk, the pasuk does something that is totally out of the ordinary, and it gives you the answer to its own rhetorical question. And the answer is loy. You're not harming Hashem. For some reason, the pasuk has to emphasize that. And it has to tell you the only one that you're harming is yourself. This is a very powerful principle, because I guess we don't know much about idols, about idolatry, but I guess if we were to study ancient idols, we would discover that the ancient people, when they worshipped an idol, they believed that their worship is what gives power to the idol. When you worship the idol, that's when the idol has power. If you don't worship the idol has no power. If you desecrate the idol, then the idol loses power. And what's the proof to this principle? What's the ultimate proof that this principle is correct? Because in Masechta Avodah Zarah, the Gemara talks about an idol that's Osir Bahana. If you go to the store and you buy an idol, or if you come into the house and you find, oh, look at that, you do renovations, and you knock down the walls, and you discover in the house an idol. The idol is osur behana. Let's say the idol is made from gold. You break down a wall in your house, and you discover a real idol made out of gold, and it's worth $100,000. Are you allowed to sell it and cash in? Nope. There's not going to be even one rabbi that's going to let you take this item, which is worth rabbi, I can sit and coil my whole life. If you let me go to the bank and cash in on this gold, do renovations in the house, we knocked down the wall, and we found this island. It's a real bona fide. We checked it out. It's the real deal. They bow down to this. It's gold, pure gold. They can make $100,000. Sorry, it's osur behana. Now, let us say, a day before, you have a videotape going back, whenever they worship this idol, the day before they put it away, the balabayas, he spit on it. The balabayas, in a state of disgust, or he took a hammer and he gave it a zetz. When a guy, a non-Jew, disgraces, chips, damages the idol, in an expression of disrespect, because the guy in essence is mevatel the avodah zara. The avodah zara becomes batel. It has now absolutely no status as an idol. A Jew can now come along and do with it whatever he wants. Now let's contrast that idea with the property that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. What happens if you go to the Beis HaMikdash? So you go in the house and you go in your Makdash. I take a bar of silver and I declare, I want this bar of silver, I want this leichter, I want anything you want. I want it to be Kodesh. I want it to be sanctified, to be the property of the Beis HaMikdash. And then you take a hammer and you say, you know something, I'm very angry. I'm very angry at Hashem. I'm angry at this religion. I didn't get shlishi. You come back from shul. The rabbi did not give me shlishi. They didn't give me mafter yoina. You know what? I'm rebelling. I don't want to have anything to do with this religion. You take a hammer and you smash the brick. Or let's say you go to a mezuzah. You go to a mezuzah and you have a very bad day at work and you go and your chas v'shalom person goes and he takes a hammer and he smashes the mezuzah. Does the mezuzah have any less kedusha? Does the brick, the object of gold that you were makdish to the Beis HaMikdash, does it get any less kedusha because you've done an act of disrespect? Absolutely not. It has the same degree of kedusha. Absolutely nothing changes when you do a ma'isa. But by a goy, when he does a ma'isa to an idol, yes, it's desanctified. Its status departs. Why? Because it captures the theology of idols, of idolatry. By the goyim in general, it appears that they believe that the power of their god is dependent upon their investment. If they invest in the god, they pray to it, they worship it, that is what gives their god the power to bring them success. But if they don't worship their god, or they ignore their god, or they smash the god is powerless. It can't bring them harm, and it can't do for them good. They have to constantly invest. So, or maybe, no, I take that back. Maybe even if they let's say they describe, I don't know how these things work, what their beliefs are. Anyway, it's all nonsense. But here the Pasuk is saying that if you take this idea, which you definitely do find a source in Chazal for this idea, and try to translate it into Judaism, you're dead wrong. Shicheis loy, do you think that when you are corrupt and you misbehave and you do averos, that you have an effect on Hashem? Hashem has been diminished, his power, his ability to do good or bad, to punish or reward, has been affected, diminished one iota? Are you out of your mind? Shicheis loy, ? You think that your acts of corruption, of destruction, have an effect on Hashem? The answer to the question is loy. Lamed mitten aleph. The answer is no. Hashem is not affected by your behavior, either one way or another. And your bad deeds only harm yourself. Bonav, his own children, Mumam, they are the ones that suffer the blemish. Dori Kesh, and this now is a separate independent statement. You're a generation that is Ikesh, that is crooked, Ufis Saltol, and corrupt. The two words which mean the same thing as far as I my limited vocabulary. It means crookedness. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasik Hey. Shicheis loy. So Rashi over here is uncharacteristic of Rashi to agree to what the Targum says. I have no issue with the Targum. The Targum here is correct. Kitargumoy. Chavilu lohoin. Are you causing Hashem a chavola damage? The answer. I'm sorry. He's translating the words. I think the Targum over here is translating the words backwards. That is what it appears. And this is the way, the Targum, interesting, I didn't appreciate this when I prepared. I didn't feel that much, but when I prepared, I didn't appreciate what I was preparing. You see, if you read the Targum at face value, it would appear that the Targum is not like what Rashi is about to say. Let's read the second Rashi. Bonav Mumam. Bonav Hayu, look at the Rashi as it continues. they were in the past. The Jewish people were in the past his children. The hashchosa and the corruption, shehishchisoi, he mumam, it is their blemish. The blemish boomerangs only comes upon themselves. Let's read more words. Bonov mumam, and Rashi repeats himself to explain. Mumam shel bonov hoya veloy mumal. It is the blemish of his children and not his blemish, not his with a capital H, Hashem's blemish. Now, when you read the words of Rashi, the second Rashi, which Rashi is a very strange Rashi, because Rashi says the Dibur HaMaschil twice, and he translates the words twice. What is Rashi doing? Okay, this is a very hard parasha. Zinu is the hardest parasha in the Torah. Bonav mumam, the second part of the Rashi again. Bonav mumam, bonav hayu. Once upon a time, we were Hashem's children. But the hashchasa, shehishchisoi, the corruption that they have committed, he mumam is their own blemish. And then Rashi repeats himself, bonav mumam, mumam shel bonav hoya. It is the blemish of his children. Viloy mumo. It's not Hashem's blemish. It's very, very difficult. Now let's go take this Rashi, the second part of Rashi, and let's attempt just to read this into the words of the Pasuk, which are very difficult, the way we explained in the very beginning, and then take note that the Targum literally would appear to be something different, but yet we have to suggest that the Targum is doing something here that is, I don't think we ever had, will have had this before, where a Targum is going to translate the Pasuk backwards. So if we read the words of Rashi literally into the words of the Pasuk, the second and third part of Rashi into the Pasuk, so when it says the words, let's understand the word loy, there's a loy mit avav and a loy mit in Yiddish, loy mit avav and loy mit an aleph. Loy mit avav means his, him. Loy mit an aleph means no, N-O. Pasuk here says shiches loy. Again, we learned, as we translated, it's a rhetorical question. It's not a rhetorical question totally because we get an answer. Question, let's say it's a question. Is this act of sin and defilement, this act of spiritual destruction, loy? Loy referring to Hashem. Does it affect Hashem? And the answer to that question is, Loy mitan aleph. Loy. It doesn't affect Hashem. The only one that is affected by an avera, bonav. It's Hashem's children who are no longer his children, because when a person does an avera, he removes himself from being considered the child of Hashem. And mumam, it's their own blemish. They have blemished themselves. It has no effect on Hashem. Now, the Targum, take that idea and let's assume, which is what it says here in this parish that I'm reading from, is doing exactly that, but is doing something which I do not recall in all the days of learning together with you, Uncleus, ever did something like this. The Targum is going to first translate the words, Bonav Mumam first, and then he's going to come back and translate the words Shiches Loy. So the Targum says, Chabilu Lohoin. He's taking the question and the answer and he's converting it into a statement. How often do you have something like that? Chabilu Lohoin, the Chavola, the destruction is Lohoin. Is to them. Who is them? It is to them. To them means it's to Klal Yisrael, Veloyle, and it's not to Hashem. So if the words viloyle, these are the Targum's words, chavilun lehoin, law, it's not to him. Let me read you what it says over here, because I'm not explaining it correctly. I'm reading, you don't have this. I'm reading you a parish called Ma'at, sorry. Aval yesh loymar, shechavilu lehoin, hu targum shiches loy. Shiches loy. Oh, no, you know, maybe I made a mistake. He has different versions here. I'm getting all mixed up now. The aloy shebelosh nakos of targum lole. All right, so it would appear. Let's go further in the Targum. I know. I apologize to you. I'm talking in circles, but just let's try to absorb a few points, and then hopefully it will all come together. If we continue the Targum continues. Binayo diflachu lito avosa, children who worship idols. Dora de Ishni, a generation, de Ishni, that changes, over Dohi, the Ishta Nayu, okay, a generation that has exchanged their service, they have changed from serving Hashem to serving serving idols, and the Ishtanu means and has changed. Okay, so what it means over here is a generation that has deviated from their service of Hashem and has decided to worship something else, to devote its loyalty to a different entity. Ikesh means to according to the Targum, a generation that the Ashni. The word Ashni means to change, appears here twice in the Targum. The Ashni and the Ishtanayu. Those words basically mean the same thing. A generation that has changed. What have they changed? They've changed Ovodohi, their service. Instead of bowing down to Hashem, their service has been to bow down to an idol. They have attempted to change, and they have changed. They want to change, and they did change. Now, the word the Ashni in this context has a connotation when you connect it to the words the Ishtanayu means they planned. A generation that had a plan to worship idols and carried out their plan and did worship idols. Now, why does the Pasuk talk about planning? Because the only place in the whole Torah where a person is punished for a thought is when he worships idols. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mitzdoref a maisa, a machshava to a maisa. Person plans to do an avera, and at the end of the day, he decides not to do the avera, even though he had a conviction he's going to do the avera. But for some technicality, for some reason, he missed the bus. He was getting on a bus to go be nichshel with an eshes ish. And it all planned out. Everything was worked in every last detail how he was going to do the Avera. And then the very last minute, he gets on the bus to go, and nope, the bus doesn't show up. So he goes home. Is Hashem going to punish him for his attempt? The answer is no. Hashem never punishes a Jew for their attempt to do an Avera. There's one exception. When a person plans to worship idols. When a person has a machshav, he wants to worship an idol, just the thought alone, that itself is punishable. So being that here we are discussing the worshiping of idols, that's why according to the Targum, he expresses it in the terms a generation, a dar, that's the ashni, which here means they want to change their loyalty, their devotion from Hashem, over Dohi, their service, and exchange it to serve an idol. And not only do they want to do this, the Ishtanayu, they did it. They actually went and they were successful in their desires to abandon Hashem and exchange him for an idol. Again, because it's Avodah Zarah, that's why we express it in their desire and their success. Now, that explains the second half of the Pasuk, which we did not even learn the Rashi yet. But let's now go backwards. Because before that, the Targum said, the Targum here clearly disagrees with Rashi, and he says that the words Bonav Mumam is an entirely different topic. Bonav Mumam, Targum translates as Benaya Diflachu Lito Avosa, children who worship idols. Lito Avosa means a mistake. They worship idols. That's who these people are. Targum is putting a period after the word Loi, and he takes the two words Bonav Mumam as an independent statement. Thus, according to the Targum, in this one, Pasuk Hey, we have three statements. We have the words Shiches Loi, that's number one. Number two, Shiches Loi Loi, that's one statement. Three words, Shiches Loi Loi. Statement number two is Bonav Mumam. And statement number three is Dor Ikesh Ufisaltol. So we work backwards. The last statement, Dor Ikesh Ufisaltol, Ikesh means to change. Ikesh means crookedness. Literally, the word Ikesh comes from the word crooked. Ufisaltol also means crooked. Two words which mean the same thing. And when a person is changing, he's going from being a Yashar, Elokim Asa Eshadam Yashar, Fehem, Bikshu Chishboinois Rabbis, and they seek calculations not to be straight, but to turn, to deviate off the path. So the two words Ikesh Ufisaltol, which both mean crookedness, the repetition, they want to change, and they've changed. Then the second to last expression, Bonav Mumam, is very simple. These are children who worship idols. Worshipping an idol is called a mum. It's a blemish. It's a blemish on your record. And the beginning of the pasuk are three words. Shiches loy loy. What does that mean? So Rashi really says it, but Rashi appears not to totally agree with the Targum, even though the Targum does say it. And the way the Targum translates these words are, Chabilu lehoin are to them, lo lay not to him. In other words, I'm going to read very simply. The Targum is reading the words in order, and he's saying loy. The subject of the word loy is Klal Yisrael. Loy just means not. And according to the Targum, there is an invisible word in the pasuk, and the Targum's invisible word is lay. Lay means Hashem. According to the Targum, the way we're reading the Targum very simply, he added a word that does not appear in the Pasuk at all. There is no reference to Hashem in this Pasuk. All it says is, question, Shiches Loi? It's a statement according to Targum. Shiches Loi? The destruction of their evil deeds only affects Loi, them, him. Him is the collective noun, referring to him is the Jewish people. The Jewish people is the subject of the word loy, and it's a statement. The Churban is to the Jewish people. Loy, not, and then we leave out the end of the sentence. The end of the sentence does not appear in the Pasuk. I guess, why not? You can say whatever you want to say. It's a certain type of style of writing. You know, Hashem doesn't want to associate himself with corruption. But the Targum did us the favor, and he added in a word that does not appear. And that word is lay, not to Hashem. You look in the Targum, there are four words. Chavilu lehoin viloy lay. This expression only has three words. Shiches loy loy. Aloy mitavav, aloy mitan aleph. Where did the Targum go and add in word number four? Well, that's what the Targum does rarely, but it happens. He adds in words into the pasuk, and he's learning it's a statement. Shichei Sloy. You want to do Averis Klal Yisrael? The Averis that you do are only going to hurt yourself. The Churban, the destruction is Loy, is to you, my people. You, Loy, not to me. And you have to add the word in by yourself. And then we go into statement number two, sentence number two. Bonav Mumam. The people that once upon a time were my children, Bonav, his children, who are no longer really his children because of the Averos, Bonav, Mumam, they have worshipped idols. Binayo Diflachu Lito Avosa. Children who have worshipped idols. That's what these people have done. And then the third part of the pasuk is Dori Keshufis Saltol, a generation that the Ashni Ovodohi, who want to change their service, the Ishtanayu, and succeeded in changing their service to Hashem. That's how the Targum reads the pasuk. Rashi appears to give us a lot of grief, because Rashi starts off Kitargumo Chavilu Lohoin Viloile, but then Rashi says something entirely different. Now, I don't know exactly what it means. Now that I'm speaking with you, a lot of things I read over here in the parish are confusing me even more. But what I feel in my heart, what Rashi is doing is, Rashi is telling us, I like the Mahalech of the Unkelus. I agree with him. The Unkelus here is on the mark. The only problem is, the way he translated the words of the pasuk don't fit. So I'm going to agree with Unkelus regarding the pshat in the pasuk, but I strongly disagree how he took this pshat and he pushed it into the words of the pasuk, which would make a lot of sense and would open up our eyes to every time Rashi says kitargumai. Because remember, we're learning this shiur with an attitude. We come here with an attitude in the shiur. And the attitude in the shiur is not like we learned Chumash and Unkelus, Rash Unkelus in Yeshiva Ketana, where Rashi is just giving you a shiur, telling you pshat in the pasuk. We're learning here with an attitude that everything that Rashi says, everything, b'liyotzim min haklal, is a response. It is a dialogue. It is a conversation with Targum Unkelus. So when Rashi says kitargumai, you get suspicious. What do you mean kitargumai? If you like what the Targum says, then say nothing. Rashi, very often, he says nothing. Rashi, there are chunks of the psukim. There are chunks of complex psukim that Rashi doesn't say one word. So how do you know what the pasuk means? Well, there's only one way to figure out what the pasuk means. Look in the Targum. Read the Targum. Study the Targum. You know what the pasuk means. When we learn together Rashi and Unkelus in this approach, that's exactly the point. Rashi, I have nothing to comment. Unkelus said it all. He was correct. He translated the words. He said, pshat. I'm done. There's no need for me to comment here. I'm not disagreeing with him. And he doesn't need my haskama. Unkelus doesn't need my haskama. He says something, everyone knows. Unkelus, shnai mikav yechad targum. There's no such thing as shnai mikav yechad Rashi. Shnai mikav yechad targum. Unkelus says something, I'm very happy with it. If Rashi has to come along and say, kitargumoi, something is fishy. Something is wrong. What is Rashi saying, kitargumoi? So I'm suggesting a chiddush. When Rashi says kitargumoi, what he means to say is the Targum got the pshat, the idea of the pasuk correct. But he's dead wrong in how he took the idea and matched it to the words of the pasuk. The idea is A plus, but his input, his coding and matching the idea into the words is dead wrong. So what was his idea? He took the first three words and he added a word to bring out an idea. He said a statement. Shichei sloi. Shichei sloi. You Jewish people, you want to be people of hashchasa? The only one that you're harming is loy, him. Who's him? Who is the subject of him? You, the Jewish people. The Jewish people is the him. Loy, mit an aleph, not blank space. Not Hashem. Not Hashem. Rashi says that that's right. That's a very nice pshat, but it doesn't say that in the pasuk. You left out a word. So I'm going to do the same thing that you did the problem, but I'm going to read that idea into the words of the pasuk differently. I'm going to include in your idea, Targum, not just three words. I'm going to include five words. Shicheis loy, that's two words. And then loy, bonov, mumon. And indeed, that's what it says in the chart, the Ta'ameh HaMikra. I'm going to take the first five words and take your idea, plagiarism. I'm going to take your idea and I'm going to put that idea not into three words and make pull words out of a hat like you did and read it as a statement. I'm going to, every single word of your, every single part of the idea is going to be in the pasuk, and we're not going to read the word loy. We're not going to say the subject of the word loy is the Jewish people, because that's not really correct. It's not grammatically correct. The nation is always usually in the feminine form, not in the masculine form. And it's a little rough. The word loy in reference to Klal Yisrael is a little rough, and it's a glaring difficulty where you leave out Hashem from the pasuk in your approach. So you know what we're going to do? Hashem is going to appear in this pasuk front and center. The subject of the word loy is going to be the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then loy with an aleph is going to be connected to the words, the next two words, to bring out the idea that it's children who are harming themselves. When the children are chutzafim to their parents, who are they harming? Harming the parents? The parents cut them out of the will. They're harming themselves by opening up their mouths with chutzpah to the parents. Who do they harm? Parents don't need the kids. Parents have plenty. They have plenty. So it all depends. They're only harming themselves. The parents, the next day, call up the lawyer. I don't want to give the kid one red cent. So you take the same idea, and we'll read as a question. Shichais loy? You're harming loy, the subject is Hashem? No, you're making a big mistake. Hashem is not affected by your misbehavior. Loi, you're dead wrong. Only one that's going to be harmed are you. You who were Bonov, his children. Bonov Mumam, they are the ones. They are the ones who are going, who are putting the blemish in themselves. Now there's also another element that we cannot ignore, which gets me very uneasy, is that it appears Bonov means his children. It seems that Rashi has this obsession that the word loy should be connected with the word Bonov, which means you're no longer Hashem's children. So I've been telling you it's an answer to a rhetorical question. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's the same idea. It's not, that's how we started. It's like, you never have this in a pasuk where you have a rhetorical question and then the pasuk answers the question, because that's not what a rhetorical question is. When there's a rhetorical question, you don't need an answer. So why is the word loy? So I think what Rashi really means is the word loy is to be combined with the word bonov. You're no longer Hashem's children. When Hashem said, bonim atem Hashem elokeichem, yeah, that was in the good old days, but not anymore. Loi bonov, you're not Hashem's children, but mumom, but rather you've blemished yourself, you've caused harm to yourself through your misbehavior. So now let's try to go back to the Rashi and try to read my whole convoluted pshat into the Rashi. The Rashi begins, and I'm telling you an idea which I really believe this truth to this, because I really firmly believe the more that we've learned together, that Rashi is talking in every single Rashi. It is a pure response to Ungulus. You're not going to hear this. People don't talk about this. Rashi is just responding to Ungulus. And if Rashi says Kitar Gumoy, that's the worst. That's the if you don't learn with this approach, and you learn like you learned in kindergarten, when you learn Chumash and Rashi, and you don't even know there's something called a Targum, and it says in Rashi, oh, Kitar Gumoy. Oh, Rashi is telling us, Pshat and the Pasuk is like the Targum. Oh, very good. So then, that's the easiest type of Rashi you can possibly have. When Rashi says, oh, you don't need me, the Targum already told you the Pshat. I'm telling you, it's mamish, just the opposite. If everything that Rashi says is to respond to Unkelus, and Rashi's Kit Targumo, you know you're in a lot of trouble. Because what do you mean? What do you mean? If it's Kit Targumo, then don't say anything. The answer is, Kit Targumo, meaning the idea of the Pasuk is like the Targum. What was the Targum's idea? It was Chavilu Lehoin. The damage of Averois is to the Jewish people, Viloile, not to Hashem. The idea is gold, A++. But the words? Targum doesn't know what he's saying. Now let me teach you how to read the words. Rashi goes on. He says, Bonav Mumam. Now the Dibur HaMaschil is on the word Bonav. He doesn't put in the Dibur HaMaschil the word Loi. He doesn't put the word Loi into Dibur HaMaschil. And yet Rashi, for some reason, says, Bonav. Bonav Hoyu. Why does he have to say that? They were his children. If you put the word Bonav with the word Loi, Loi Bonav, they're no longer his children. But it doesn't say that. Rashi doesn't put the Dibur HaMaschil Loi. He says, Bonav Mumam. I don't know. Bonav, why can't Bonav means they were, once you're a child, you're always a child. But for whatever reason, it says, Bonav Hayu, Vehashchasa, Shehishchisoi, that they have, he Mumam is their own blemish. It's the blemish of the children. So he clearly learns, Rashi, that they were taking the words Mumam to go back into the beginning of the Pasuk, not like the Targum that said the word Bonav Mumam is an independent statement of the children. They made a big mistake. And then Rashi elaborates, Bonav Mumam, Mumam shel Bonav Hoya v'loi Mumo. Here, he adds the word Loi. He finally says the word Loi, and he says the word Loi, it's not Hashem's Mum. So what's becoming clear, I think what's becoming clear is that the reason why Rashi is repeating himself twice, it would appear Rashi is telling us to take the word Loi, Lamed Aleph, and apply it and translate it two ways. Number one, it's meant to say Loi Bonav. We're no longer Hashem's children. And number two, Loi is an answer to the rhetorical question in the beginning of the Pasuk. So the first Rashi, when he says Bonav Mumam, even though it doesn't have the word Loi in the Dibur HaMaschil, but it's very obvious that Rashi is coming to connect the word Bonav to the word Loi that appears immediately before it. Bonav Hoyu. They were. Not anymore. Why not? Because it says Loi Bonav. Maybe Rashi didn't want to say the word Loi because he didn't want such a nasty thing, such a harsh thing to say. He didn't want to write those words. It's self-understood. Bonav Hoyu. Loi Bonav. They're no longer Hashem's children. Bonav Hayu, v'hashchasa shehishchisoi, and then the word Mumam. This has to be the pshat, because then he explains the word v'hashchasa, the hashchasa shehishchisoi, he Mumam. It's their own blemish, and then Rashi repeats the expression again, but this time Rashi says the word. He takes the word loy, and he applies it to the previous expression. And they're both correct. Elu, the word loy, is meant to be used twice. In other words, according to Rashi, as if the Pasuk said the word loy three times. One with a vav,
and two times with an aleph. It's as if it says in the pasuk, "Shiches loy." Do you think that you're coming to harm Hashem? So the answer is loy. You didn't harm Hashem. The only one that you harmed is yourself. And who are you? Loy Banav. You're no longer Hashem's children. Mumam, and the blemish you've done, what you've done, the hashchasa, is only a hashchasa to yourself. So it's as if it says the word loy twice. Once as an answer to the rhetorical question, and the second other self-understood loy is stating that we're no longer Hashem's children, chas v'shalom, because of the averus that we have done. That's what appears Rashi is saying. Bon of hayu, that's the first interpretation of the word lo. And now we have to deal with the word mumam. Loy banav. Kama mumam. It's your blemish. And then, but there's another pshat, which is not another pshat. It's all part of the same pshat. It's a sophisticated youth language where words are meant to be repeated multiple times. And in this interpretation, he says, banav mumam. Mumam shal banav haya. Oh, what about the word loy? What about the word loy? Veloy mumo. It's not a blemish in Hashem. It's the answer. It's an answer to shiches loy. You think you're coming to cause harm to you think you're coming to cause harm to Hashem? Nope. You're not causing harm. He says it clearly. Veloy mumo. It's not Hashem's blemish. That's the mumo. The vav at the end, the word mumo, is part of the word loy in the beginning of the pasuk. Okay, so I think we still have a major chidushim here in understanding this Rashi, in this pasuk, according to the difference between Unkelus and Rashi. And in the process, we've also discovered a major idea, which now it forces us, mikanu l'haba, and going backwards, every time Rashi says the word kitargumai, he's not coming to compliment Unkelus. He's coming to say to Unkelus, the idea is very nice, but not the way you took the idea and presented it, matched up the idea to the words of the pasuk. So to review, according to the Targum, there are three sentences in this pasuk. There's a sentence of three words. Shiches loy, loy. Those three words are translated. The subject of the word loy mit vav is klal Yisrael. And loy mit an aleph is a reference to Hashem. And we're adding in the word lay, which means it's a statement. Shiches loy, your averos are only causing you harm, the Jewish people. The hashchasa is to you. Loyle, not to Hashem. Period. Then we have a second statement. Bon of Mumam, his children, they made big mistakes. They worshipped idols. The Mumam, the blemish, he says, Diflachu lita avosa, they worshipped idols. And then the third expression is Dor, their generation, Ikesh, who wants to be crooked, and became crooked. Ufisaltol, they want to be crooked, and they became crooked. Rashi starts off by complimenting Unkelus that the idea is a very good idea, but that's not how we're going to read the idea into the pasuk. Number one, there's only going to be in this pasuk two sentences, not three. And the first sentence is going to span five words. And the truth is, it's really as if there are six words, because we're going to repeat the word loy mit an aleph twice. Once, it's going to be a statement that it's not Hashem's blemish. It's not Hashem's it's not going to affect Hashem. And number two, we're also going to say, we're going to have the word loy is going to be connecting it to the word banav, that because of our own averos, Hashem does not consider us to be his children anymore. And the way we read it translated, as we have to read it according to Rashi, is as a rhetorical question. Shiches loy? Do you think that your bad behavior has an effect on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Loy. It doesn't. It doesn't have an effect. But instead, it boomerangs and your evil behavior, bonov mumam. Your bad behavior boomerangs and comes back to you and blemishes you. And the blemish is so great that when the Pasuk says here, when the Pasuk says loy, it's as if it says part of the blemish is loy banov. You're not Hashem's children anymore. Because of the hashchasa, it's your blemish. Okay, we didn't get up to the Rashi part. Let's read the Rashi. We're going to lay the Rashi. Dor ikesh okum umuuko. Okay, we're going to dor ikesh. What does it mean? Ikesh means crooked. Kavavias kol hayishara. Everything that's straight, yakoishu, they make crooked. Uvelashon mishne. A weasel that has crooked teeth. Ufisaltol kipsil hazesh goylin oisoy makifin oisoy sirus hagdil pesaltel min hatevois hakifulois kmoirakrak adamdam secharchar segalgal. It's tough lamed. A braid, a pesil. A pesil means a braid. A braid, it goes in a circle. It doesn't go straight. When you braid, you have three cords, and each one over constantly is deviating from going straight and is overlapping with someone else. Crookedness. A braid is a crooked seal. And when you want to magnify the crookedness, you repeat the letters. Like your roik is green. Your rak means very green. Odoim is red. Adamdam is very red. Seal is a braid, a wick, which is a braid. And then when you want to say that it's not just braided, it's braided, it's crooked, the strings that are going in the braid are not, they're very crooked. You magnify it by eating the tough lamid, it's very crooked. Okay, so we'll stop over here. We Baruch Hashem, we learned new things today, things that I never, ever imagined I would ever know, only thanks to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you, Mishum, tomorrow.
Good night. Shmuel had a drash yesterday on the Pasuk.
Yeah, what did he say?
He said that Kichesh Loi, the ones who Kichesh Loi, to Neged Hashem, Loi Bonav, what's the rest of the Pasuk?
Dor ikesh ufisaltol.
The ones who revolted against Hashem were not the Jews, they were the Avraham. So that's what the Pasuk is saying. Kichesh loy, the ones who denied him, loy balav.
Okay. They're not, okay, the Avraham, the loy balav. The loy balav. Okay. I hear. Interesting.
The trap doesn't say that. The trap is loy.
I hear. Very interesting.
Okay, Shkaya. Tomorrow, you're going to have a third person?
You want Hataras Nadarim? We'll do. We have to have someone. We have someone. We'll see who comes tomorrow.
Yes. Okay. Maybe I'll write Aaron. I'll tell him to go.
Don't put him in Sakana. He doesn't want to go. Don't put him in Sakana.
No, you'll go on the other side of the glass and he'll be in the glass.
Yeah, but he has to walk in the street and walk here, walk there. You don't know where you pick it up.
Yeah.
They said in the news, say, I think one of the big machas in the government said, yeah, vaccine is coming out, a vaccine. But I'll tell you a secret. Wearing a mask is even more beneficial than getting the vaccine.
Yeah, well, till people get the vaccine, etc. Meanwhile, what's going around is the picture of Mincha on the Rose Garden lawn.
What's the big deal? I saw, what's the big deal? Big deal.